What's up, Wing Wing Nation? This is Joe here. We are cooking up a national tour, but we need some info from you. So if you click the link below, there's a survey. We need to know which cities to go to. If you want us to go to your hometown, let us know in the survey below and we will consider it. It takes like 30 seconds and you get 10% off our online store if you complete it. And come see us live in person. We're going to have car meets. We're going to have contests. We're going to have sim racing. It's going to be so fun. So let us know where to go. Get 10% off merch and it's a win-win. And let's get into the show.
This week, we're talking about a scandalous lawsuit against Tesla and Nissan's promises for the much-awaited R36 GTR, plus how the next-gen Miata plans to keep its soul and how Subaru might ruin the Outback. But first, it's not a real NASCAR weekend until someone gets punched. Welcome to the Big Three. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined this week by Jimmy Hilton.
Hey, how's it going? Back again.
Good. I'm glad you're here, Jimmy. We got some very stuff, pertinent Jimmy news stories.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
I saw a few things in that opening that I was excited about.
Very excited to break those down with you.
Are these the same weight shoes as the last time you were on? They were new.
I think so. They are actually. Yeah.
Yeah. They've been a little dirty.
They're getting a little dirty, but I like the dirt wear on there. Yeah.
And that other voice you hear, the one and only, Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Got
happy
your
to be here.
Your Viagra Boys t-shirt on.
Whoa.
Yeah, you have this shirt on.
Yes, you do. Okay. Just a little friendly reminder, guys. Please, if you haven't yet, fill out our podcast tour survey. If you want us to come to your town, let us know where you live so we can plan out our trip. It really, really helps. Thank you to everybody who's already filled that out. We've got a good amount of responses, but we definitely want some more.
Nome,
Alaska.
Six people in Nome.
Nome, Alaska.
Yeah. We were just in Alaska.
Yeah, that's
well, not
crazy.
Nobody in this room was, but Justin and Deal and a crew went out to Alaska, and that video came out this weekend.
Insane.
Very harrowing
Looks
journey they went
crazy.
On.
Crazy.
Yeah. If you haven't checked that video yet, please do. Some crazy stuff went down, and there's also some very beautiful human moments in that.
That D21 hard body, though? Come on.
Yeah, pretty
That's
cool.
the hero.
Absolutely.
That's the hero right there.
Very cool. Yeah. Are we going to try to get that back down
I think
here?
So. I think we're trying to ship it.
Okay.
But
ship it! We should.
Yeah. I don't think we'll get tariffed on it. So,
no.
That's nice.
That'd be, yeah, that's
but it still has to get on a boat.
That's good. Yeah. Well, we could... I mean, dude, that thing could probably make it down here. We could drive it all the way.
I don't know, man. That's a long drive.
Yeah.
Matt, it already, you want to do it?
No.
Now's the time, though.
Yeah.
We're getting into the, summer started summer.
Yeah. And yeah. That snow plow's just going to send the MPGs through the roof.
Yeah. I think we'd take it off, put it in the bed for improved aerodynamics.
Okay. Got it.
A driver incident that was bad even by NASCAR standards popped off this weekend at Bowman Gray Stadium. It was the opening race. Sorry.
It's so bad, it's good.
So bad. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is good.
I can't wait.
After the opening race of NASCAR's Street Stock Series on Saturday, tensions flared between drivers Zach Staley and Justin Alverson. If you haven't seen this on social media yet, we're going to give you a look right now.
Dang, just boom.
So the driver in front swipes the silver car's nose, and then silver car proceeds to slam into the other driver.
Well, it was Staley like cut him off. And the other great thing about this video...
This race marshal is just trying to keep him down. Like, please don't go.
The marshal's holding onto his leg. Mm-hmm. Staley slicks back his hair. He's looking like
gyrating his hips.
Yeah.
Saying, bring it.
Dude,
come
he's
on.
Out. Boom.
Alverson.
The security guard is not running, by the way. He is taking the least amount of time to get there to break up this fight.
Staley's like trying to kick him with his heel, I think.
There's like a. It looks like a 15-year-old kid. The kid with the snapback, he looks young.
He does look young.
He looks like, he's like, Dad, stop.
And then a bunch of cops come onto the infield, try to break this thing up. There's like 25 people in this dog pile here.
My favorite part of the video, though, was how low-key the announcers are. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing happening. They're just talking about everybody. This
Staley's
is a nice and like it goes on.
Yeah.
He hits him. He gets turned, blows the radiator, and then the announcer's like, "Oh my god!"
Because their attention
how little was happening. They had no eyes.
I mean, it's post race. Their attention was probably at like the front of the pack or whatever, not paying attention. And this is going. By the way, They were in 13th and 14th position. And I tried to find like a stream of the race. There was a channel I was able to find, but they only did like the main event races up. So I don't really know what the context
is. Yeah, I want to know.
I assume that they, you know, got into a tussle on track, and maybe that's what got maybe Staley
sent,
all
maybe,
mad.
Maybe you sent him a text. Maybe while they're driving.
Maybe Alverson spoiled the White Lotus finale for Staley, and Staley was like, "Okay, I'm gonna get my revenge."
Yeah, he's his dad.
Yeah. that wasn't the finale though. Anyway, yeah, very strange. But also Bowman Gray, like it feels like every 6 months I see a video from that track, something exactly like this happening.
Really?
There's an energy there. Yeah.
Dang,
it's haunted.
I saw haunted. I also saw some other people saying like the track itself is very small and there's not a lot of like room to race. So it's very easy to get into incidents.
You get heated quick.
You get heated quick, Jimmy. Yes, you do. So there you go. Yeah. Dang. Infamous stadium at this point.
I just
point.
Love that there's just the race marshal who's trying to hold his leg. He's
that
like
is
on the
so
ground.
Funny. Yeah. Also,
please don't go.
I kind of feel like racing, or at least oval racing, especially at like a local track level like this, like let him fight a little bit.
Dude, you need a little.
Let him fight
I mean,
a
they
bit.
Did.
You need a little spice.
I mean, the marshal's coming on and like trying to get like an anchor on his.
There's a 15-year-old kid going in there, like trying to stop them. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Give the fans want to see a little some punches being thrown.
We need more like hockey. You see a fight, all the time.
And then they break it up when it gets on the ice, right? Mm-hmm. I think they let them fight.
Yeah, you let them.
And guess what?
A little bit.
The sport still exists. Mm-hmm. It's still fun.
Bring NASCAR back to the fight days.
Yeah,
I want to see the pit crews fighting.
Into, you have your squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That happens.
It does happen. It's pretty
clear
sick.
The benches. Yeah. Yeah. People bringing out their torque wrenches.
Yeah.
Okay. No, maybe no weapons.
Yeah. But throwing lug nuts out.
Oh.
Scattering their lug nuts and stuff.
Scattering your nuts at them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Throwing
taking their 10 mils.
Slingshots with the lug nuts. That's good. Okay. Well, we'll workshop that. We'll send a proposal over.
If you were a NASCAR pit crew fighter, what would your signature move be?
Oh, that's a good one.
The tire slam.
The tire. Yeah.
Boom. Bring it down.
I think I would probably jump on top of the car and then do like a body slam or something.
Okay. Crack the window.
Okay. Yeah. Like a front flip into. I'll have to work on front flip first.
Yeah.
The move. What is the move called? Oh,
the feather duster.
I was going to say the cyclone.
I don't know.
The cyclone.
Oh, yeah.
The cyclone. Yeah.
That's like a good one. I think I'd just take their 10 mils. That would be mine.
Oh, like a little sabotage.
Yeah, yeah. A little like rogue move.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I like that.
I like the idea of a melee going on and just Jimmy in the back taking 10s and then sneaking off.
Well,
I'm taking that.
Be?
The tire slam.
Oh, the tire slam. Yours is the tire.
You just take a tire. I'm just going to throw it.
Well, that's pretty good.
Because it's versatile. You could throw it. It's got some good weight to it.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to do any long-term damage to somebody. But also, if you get it just right, you could whoop, and you just get somebody stuck right in the middle of it. You know? And you just bring it down.
Very Looney Tunes.
Yeah, you can roll them around.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Someone's got to make this into a video game, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they had
in the pits.
There was like MLB Slugfest back in the day. It was like a baseball game where you could punch the ump and like stuff like that. It was so much fun.
EA
NFL
Sports
Blitz. Yeah.
Used to have you'd have blood on the ice in the early EA Sports like 96 or whatever. Yeah.
Dude.
And then they took it. They got rid of the blood.
Okay.
That was actually in what was it? Swingers, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Swingers hockey scene where they got
hell yeah
upset with each other. My they brother on that back. Video game, I'm still not sure how he did this. He created a character on the Bruins. I think it was number 36. I don't know where he picked the number. Mm. And his name was Butter Puffmore.
And he was a fighter.
And his stats were 99 in everything. And I was like, Derek, how did you do this? He goes, I don't know. He's just and so the Bruins were dominant. Because of Butter Puffmore.
Butter Puffmore.
He could not
dude.
Be stopped.
He was a ringer.
You'd come around back of the net and just... Yeah.
After years of rumors and speculation on what a next generation NE Miata might look like, Mazda has just given us some very welcome news, Jimmy.
I'm so excited.
One of the biggest rumors was that the platform would go full electric vehicle, but just last week, Mazda said that while it was still studying an EV Miata, the next generation would have a 2.5-liter naturally aspirated four-cylinder engine called the Skyactiv Z.
Awesome.
What do you think about that?
I'm so stoked.
Yeah.
That's a good engine, too. I think I have the Skyactiv is in Devin's Mazda.
Mazda
the
3.
2.4, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty, it's peppy.
That's fun. A fun car.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And I mean, I'm really excited. I'm stoked to see what it looks like. I know they've already got like the ND, so I'm hoping we'll have kind of an RF for the NE generation.
Okay. I love that. That'd be sweet. RF is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am curious if they still will offer the EV Miata because they've just been like dipping their toes. Like they've always said, like, oh yeah. Like there was an NA EV Miata back in like 1989.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a
concept? It was a test car.
Test mule? Okay.
Yeah. They didn't, but they were like, this isn't.
Well, Mazda was the only company to, like, a lot of the emissions regulations were put on the car companies, and a lot of them were like, well, fine, we're going to make EVs, so that's going to take care of our overall fleet emissions. And Mazda was the only one who said, we're not going to do that. We're going to work on making more fuel efficient, peppy engines. So
they're great.
They're a little bit behind the ball, I would think, if they were going to make an EV. Not in a bad way.
I don't think they even have an EV car in their lineup right now.
Because they developed the Skyactiv engines
and
for that purpose.
Is that that's the Atkinson cycle engine, right? I believe.
It uses, among other, yes, it is, but it also, it uses a bunch of different ignition timing and swirl patterns.
Really cool.
Swirl patterns.
Depending on when it wants to fire. Yeah.
I gotta say, I really love the CX-5 is actually one of my favorite cars. My mom's had two of them, and I just think they're wonderful, wonderful vehicles. Even if they are crossover SUVs, Mazda is still able to make a crossover that is fun to drive. Like maybe they borrowed a steering rack from the Miata or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. It has a very peppy engine, but also like the steering is very direct and very agile car.
I mean, I love
zoom bitches.
Devin's Mazda 3.
Yeah.
That's my fiance. She got a Mazda 3 brand like last year.
You were driving it for a while.
Yeah, and
I rode
love
in it with
it.
You. Yeah. It's a great car.
It's a really good car. Yeah. So props to Mazda. Really. I think out of all the car companies right now, they're kind of sticking to their own guns and just like doing what they love.
As far as I know, I think they have to because they are still like
they're their own thing still.
They're independent. They are still in the car industry. They're a small business essentially. I don't think have like the capital to make a bunch of different EVs or anything like that. Like
Their lineup is not big.
No.
It's contained.
And it's good, though.
I think it is. And I mean, if you get an NA Miata, you can go to a dealership right now and buy everything for that car. You can restore an NA Miata from just going to the dealership and they'll have everything.
I didn't know
that.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Whereas, like, I think Honda's, like, discontinued a lot of the EG and Integra parts. Nissan is just, like, on fire.
Yeah.
So Mazda, keep doing what you're doing, please. I love you guys.
Yeah, so we don't have the exact power figures yet, but Mazda CTO Ryuichi Umeshitas has called the Skyactiv Z, quote, the ideal internal combustion engine and said the power and fuel economy would be, quote, very good. The engine is 500 cubic centimeters larger than the current engine available in American market Miatas and 1,000cc larger than the engine used in Miatas internationally. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what the new dimensions of this car are because the ND is an inch smaller than the NA Miata.
See, you told me that this morning and I still can't believe it. I didn't realize that. I thought it was going to be much bigger, but that's incredible.
It's
wider though, right?
It is wider.
Okay.
But lengthwise, it is an inch shorter, which
that's how it happens. If you're going to squeeze something like that, it's got to go
the other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what the dimensions of this will be, if they'll make it bigger or what. But I'm from the sounds of it, they're going to stick true to like what the Miata is, the Jinbei Tai, the horse and rider as one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, Okay, sorry,
that's how I live my life.
Total digression. No, but yeah.
That's how I live my
that's
life.
That's how you live your life?
Yeah.
Right now, what on this couch. Couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. One
horse and
me
rider.
Me and Jimmy are connected through this.
Yeah, like Avatar. You guys have your ponytails. Like, yeah, you guys are transmitting thoughts. Yeah. Mazda did say that a mild hybrid was a possibility, but insists that keeping the car lightweight is a top priority.
Nice.
In fact, the general manager of design over at Mazda, Masashi Nakayama, recently told Road and Track that they wanted to make the next generation even lighter than the current car, even though they've been getting requests from the American market for years to make the car bigger. Why do you think that is?
That's really weird.
It's just because it's so small, and yeah. American cars, you know, shouldn't be that. I think people, when you're going up against like Mustang, Miata really is it's stands pretty
it
far.
It is still one of these smaller cars on the market right now,
or even just your smaller cars from Toyota. Mm-hmm. You know, like
GR86. Yeah. That's a big car compared to the Miata still. So pretty cool. I mean,
what would you say is like if someone's looking to get into Miatas, Jimmy? What is like the best deal to get a good or best way to get a good one for a good price?
I tell everyone
and,
this.
Sorry, and Jimmy is legitimately a Miata expert, so this is gossip.
So
right
if you want a Miata, you want a first generation, look for the 94 NA. That's the year to buy.
94. Why is that?
94 has OBD1. You don't have to deal with any of the OBD2 wiring stuff. It has the best carpet. They used 95 and 94 have a very specific carpet type that smells very different. I like the smell a lot.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. Okay. I'm
94,
listening.
You get the 1.8, which is the more peppier engine.
Yes.
And 94s, if you can find one, you can get the R package, which has different tie rod ends, Bilstein suspension. Obviously, though, you're going to swap that stuff out. Yeah. But it's still cool to be like, oh, you get the R package. Yeah, I think that's just like the best year to look for. Or if you want to get into an NB, I would say a 99 or 2000.
Like because like you Vipers.
Get, yeah. Because you get the BP4W engine, which is the best flowing Miata engine.
Hmm.
Yeah. That is the engine that they used in the turbo Miata in 2004, the Mazda Speedway.
Okay.
So that's not the NB2 motor. It's a BP. It's leftover BP4W motors parts. They had.
I see. You love your NAs and NBs.
Yes. NCs?
Yes.
Haven't crossed that bridge yet.
No?
I have a buddy who's really into them. He's been convincing me to get one. I think there's a lot of, like an NC1 or an NC2, I think would be like the move. NC3 is the newer one, which is like...
Oh, it has like the sharper kind of headlights.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But I do like those.
I think like an NC2 with some like really cool aero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and also those are 5-lug. So you can do like... some pretty cool wheel combos on them. Yeah, I think you could set it up really nicely.
Yeah, when they first came out, I didn't really like them. And then
no one did.
No, nobody did. Nobody did. They're kind of like bulbous looking and like they look really big, even though I don't know if they are that big.
Not. It just looks big.
Right. They look big. And I think that kind of like was antithetical. But one of my buddies had a friend who had like a lowered NC on like RPF1s and I actually really liked it.
They're
it
pretty great. Capable. Like I think as much as people are like, oh, it's a boat, it's stupid looking. Like they're actually pretty capable cars. And everyone I know who has an NC and like tracks it, they swear by them.
Nah, I'm sure. Yeah.
They're like, that's the one, you know? No, they're great. They're all good cars at the end of the day. Well, are you thinking of getting an NC?
No, but we should do a video about NCs.
We should do an NC. Yeah.
Like the forgotten Miata.
Yeah. You know? I do have some. Like we could
get some.
We could get some good stuff cooking.
We could get some
good
stuff cooking.
Let me get in the kitchen and I'll start cooking.
All right.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Mazda might be rejecting the bigger is better trend, but the same can't be said for our friends over at Subaru. That's right. Photos of the new Outback dropped last week, and we're not really sure you can call it a wagon anymore, folks. Let's take a look at this thing.
Yeah, it looks...
God,
I think we were talking about Miata and how they have a very consistent and you know what a Mazda is, right?
Yeah.
I think Subaru's been slowly losing that.
I agree.
This looks like a Chevy.
It's, yeah. It's something between a Chevy and a Toyota.
It's, you know? It's, yeah. It looks very Toyota-like to me, especially like those the taillights specifically look like a RAV4.
The front end looks like a Chevy to me.
Yeah. So it's a big SUV, folks. That's what the new Outback is. The big old SUV.
Man.
It's no longer a station wagon, unfortunately. It's very boxy, very, very large, and that makes me sad because the outgoing Outback I like a lot.
That's Bart a good
likes
car.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are sweet.
They're pretty cool.
The shape of them, they're super capable.
Mm-hmm. Especially the Wilderness.
Yeah, they had all those cool trim levels that you could get.
The drive points out that every new trim has 8.7 inches of ground clearance, which sits almost an inch higher than the Chevy Tahoe. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, but
that makes it taller.
I just, why do you want to compare a Subaru to the Chevy
to a Tahoe?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. It has a mostly unchanged 2.5 liter flat four making 180 horsepower or a turbocharged 2.4 liter flat four making 260 in the pricier models. And both engines are paired with a continuously variable transmission.
Or CVT.
Yeah, or CVT.
For short. Yeah. 180 horsepower and a SUV that big doesn't really compute with me.
It's very surprising.
Like seems like a small number.
It's going to be slow.
Yeah.
I think. There was a point in time where the Crosstrek was like the slowest accelerating car you could buy.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if this will take.
Imagine taking that on the 110 freeway.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Those
Highland
on-ramps.
Park, yeah.
Super short on-ramps.
It's got to be heavier. Like, it's bigger.
Definitely. Yeah. It's bigger, taller. And what's frustrating, too, they have two other models. The Ascent and the Forester are basically SUVs. Bart, you were saying something about the Ascent, maybe. They're a strategy.
I don't know if they're going to get rid of a couple lines of larger vehicles.
I can see them getting rid of
have this overtaken. But I don't, you know. I don't like the move. I think they should have kept the Outback the size the Outback is.
Yeah, the shape is just too SUV. The Outback was such an iconic shape for so long.
Well, as everything's had to get bigger, the Outback the last iteration was closer to what like a 2001 Forester was.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't see why you would get rid of this.
I don't know.
Part of your fleet.
It's probably they want to get rid of the Ascent and then they're just going to.
They're going to have one.
They just want to sell it though as that name of the Outback. They're like, oh, yeah, you know what an Outback is.
Yeah. You might
get
be
into
right
one
about
of these.
That. Might be right. It is sad. And also, especially like you pair that with, the WRX not really having it. We haven't had
the
a true STI in a long time. Like you said, like Subaru kind of like aggressively at this point changing its identity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even, you know, I'm probably in 2018, 2017, like that era, as everybody, I feel like everybody was kind of doing like kind of Audi light grills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even Subaru was like, oh, that looks like a Ford. Like even back then, I thought they were starting to kind of lose that element.
Yeah,
and now this looks like
this
a
one
Chevy.
Looks terrible. I think
I
the front
like
end
yeah.
is a total miss for me.
It looks so
the Wilderness
off.
Specifically
mm-hmm.
is hard to look at on the front,
which
from the
is
front.
Which it is one of the best looking versions of the last.
Yeah. Wait, do we have
of
photos
the Wilderness?
Of, is
yeah,
that
we
the
should
same
try,
one.
We should try to find the Outback Wilderness, the new Outback Wilderness, the front
oh
end
God,
of that.
I'm scared
it is Jimmy. Jimmy.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, buddy. Yeah. Oh.
And what's funny is that just this picture, the aspect, but this looks better. The aspect ratio is off on this.
Oh, that's right.
But it looks
better.
Better.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it looks, it should feel taller.
Yeah.
It looks like someone mixed Nissan Frontier.
And a Ford Explorer.
I was going to say Land Rover Discovery 3 or LR3. Like mix those two together. It does not work for me.
Why does it look like it has a fake bash bar on the front?
I think that was intentional. Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. Like, they've painted some of the grill to look like a bash bar.
Yeah,
That
looks gross.
Everybody here is so angry right now.
I just don't get it because
I can hear our sound mixing is grumbling. You can't hear it, but it's just, and I
people
just hear
upset.
There's whispers that these mics aren't picking up. Like it's
disgusting. It's just so, the walls are talking
it's
right
so
now.
Gross.
Yeah. So the weight of the vehicle is estimated to be around 4,000 pounds, up from the current 3,600 to 3,800 pound range of the current generation. I'm getting mad again now. Like,
I know.
that's
outrageous. That is outrageous.
The last, especially the wilderness, the Outback Wilderness that you can buy right now, not the new one. I really like. Yeah. I think it's a cool vehicle. Yeah. I saw one yesterday when I was driving home. I made eye contact with the driver because mm-hmm. I was like, I did a double take. Like, I was like, there it is, and it was in that blue color.
Mm-hmm. That color's so good too.
When I was at
so
Motor cool. Trend, there, because you get the cars coming through. That was just one where no matter who you were, what your taste in cars was, you'd see it, and you're like, that's good.
It looks like a land train kind of situation. Yeah. It's like long.
Or a desert skiff.
It's something, yeah. And it'd be a cool, like, dad mobile, you know? And then this, like, it's a blob.
It's so weird that Subaru, like, they know their heritage. They know they're, like, this rally giant. Like, their Subaru the STI, like, factory in Japan has all the old cars. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Mitsubishi, like, they've totally lost their, they don't care. About their their rally generations or any of that, but it's just so weird, you know.
To your point, the last Outback did embody those things.
Yeah,
this just feels like a miss.
Yeah, so we'll see how that shakes out. They'll probably sell 50 million of them, and we'll be
everywhere.
Oops. But, yeah, and then the Miata is gonna get bigger.
Yeah.
So
it's
gonna have a truck bed and all-wheel drive, Jimmy.
Oh,
get ready.
God, please no.
Tesla is getting sued again. And no, not for the woefully incompetent self-driving system. This latest class action lawsuit claims that the odometers in Tesla vehicles are inflating mileage by as much as 117%. This then causes the vehicle to lose their warranties sooner. Tesla has knowingly let this happen.
You had to get political, Nolan.
So this is not good.
This is one of those stories where you're kind of like, what? Mm-hmm. Is your first? And then as we were looking at, I was like, this can't, because this is just one dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he said basically, after a couple, he like kind of knew how much he was driving. He's like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he started trying to figure out what the difference was. He's alleging that it increased his mileage and you lose the warranty at 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying this is an intentionally done thing mm-hmm. so that they won't have to cover repairs that they should.
It's messed up.
Then we were all kind of like,
we were in the newsroom.
How is it just one guy?
We were in the conference room.
There's been Reddit threads about this that are 2-3 years old.
There's multiple.
Like, hey, has anyone noticed this?
A fair amount of them, yes.
Yeah. And then people are like, well, I can't figure it. Sometimes it's maybe 12 miles off my 20-mile drive. Sometimes it says I did 19.
Yeah.
You know, like people, it's so weird.
It's out there.
And I encourage you guys listening or watching to
go to Reddit
Reddit Tesla odometers. You'll find, we found probably like 5 to 10 threads.
And some of it's in like the Model Y forum. Yeah. Some of it's, you know, and there's like every different Tesla has its own thread of what's wrong with my odometer.
And all these were from like at least a year or 2 years ago too. So it's not like a new thing. Been going on for a while and people have been noticing.
And as near as I was able to piece it together, Tesla, because this makes sense, uses an algorithm to determine your mileage as opposed to just using your mileage to determine your mileage.
The algorithm.
Yeah. I mean,
because people are like, well, I don't know where it gets this number. And the thing is like, well, no one knows where it gets this number.
It's so Tesla, dude.
You know what your mileage is.
Yeah. You have to feed it good keywords to get good mileage.
It makes sense, though, because like if it was just algorithmically based, it would make total sense. Like, we're talking about a car that does not have a button or latch to open your gearbox. We're talking about a company that uses buttons to open doors rather than having a door handle. Like, you have to go into through your touchscreen to open your glove box, all that kind of dumb stuff. Like, this would totally track, be totally on brand.
Yeah.
Typical Elon and other Tesla engineers who think like they know better.
We're rethinking.
And just conveniently makes you run out of warranty faster. That saves a lot of money too in the long run.
This I think is interesting for a number of reasons, but if this blows up, and it could.
Yeah.
Because there are laws about odometer accuracy for these reasons.
Yeah.
And
the industry takes it seriously.
It could be big.
Yeah.
So
I could see them though claiming like just some of them are faulty like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then you get sued. I mean, it's all beyond parody at this point. Yeah. This company.
How many lawsuits is this in the past 2 weeks? I feel like.
I don't know, man. It never ends.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
And I did wear my my
nice
mamas don't let your babies grow up to drive Tesla's hat.
My camo hat.
Yeah, I didn't see it until you took it off there.
Yeah. Whoa, dude. Yeah. What are you holding?
But that was on accident. And then we come into the office and then we're talking about the story. And I don't know.
I do think it's interesting for a number of reasons. And it is very silly.
You're a Lucid man, right? You like the Lucids.
I like the Lucids. I like a lot of all the EVs that we've driven.
I bet they keep track of their mileage pretty well.
I bet they do. So how do other companies measure mileage? Well, according to How Stuff Works, digital odometers, quote, use a toothed wheel mounted to the output of the transmission and a magnetic sensor that counts the pulses as each tooth of the wheel goes by to get a mileage reading. A lawsuit alleges that Tesla, quote, employs an odometer system that utilizes predictive algorithms, energy consumption metrics, and driver behavior multipliers that manipulate the odometer reading.
That's weird.
But it's like, you're
in a car that has GPS. Like, there's so many other ways to measure your mileage.
Yes.
Like, it is the whole, but that's every a, that'd be another system that you have to do. My mind. I know.
It's like,
just keep track of miles.
Like,
keep
do you
track
ever have
of miles?
A friend,
don't guess. Or like, why is my car guessing?
Yeah. It's like
miles.
So simple to do this.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
I think it's twofold. I think one, like, you ever have like a friend or like an acquaintance that would cheat in school, but they put more effort into cheating?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Than it
yeah.
would just to do the work.
Yeah, my buddy, he ran Volkswagen for a while.
So like, there's that component of it where it's like, oh, we're gonna like, we don't need to develop whatever one of these sensors is, or even buy one from other suppliers. Right. Like, let's make our own system to track mileage. And then on the other side, it's like, this system also conveniently lets us scam our customers.
Let's
and not,
put a bug in there while we're at it.
That conveniently benefits us and our bottom line. Like, I think it's both of those things I think can be true. It's just, come on, man. Just never. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired.
I think
tired
we're all, we're all
Nolan's
with you.
Very tired.
I'm getting tired of this. Actually, I feel great today.
Good.
But I'm just getting so tired of this shit, man. Anyway, the primary plaintiff in the lawsuit says that he noticed his odometer was wrong because of his work commute. While in his warranty period, his odometer logged 2,217 miles a month. And after his warranty expired at 50,000 miles, the odometer began reading 1,415 miles a month. Less.
Whoa.
That's a lot less than 2,217 miles. Despite his commute actually increasing during this time. He probably only uses his car to commute, it sounds like, but that's very suspect.
That guy is crazy detail oriented to notice that, because I don't notice that on my head.
I bet you would if you just lost out on a $2,000 warranty repair.
You'd
be like, oh really, oh I'm at 50, and then you'd really start to be like, okay, this like that's what's gonna get your head on it.
So then you start counting.
You start the numbers.
The numbers.
I'm logging the numbers.
Well, my dad, I know this is an older generation thing. My dad used to log every fill up. So you know your mileage,
mm-hmm.
and
if something dropped, you'd know that you got to go look for something going on in the car. Like, and I think there's been a shift. Like, mileage is an important thing to keep track of, and we don't do it anymore, you know? And it's not just for resale value. It's not, there's kind of this mindset flip, and I'm interested to see how this plays out.
You know, my buddy Michael still does that.
Yeah.
And he does it with his Miata, the red one.
I love it.
Yeah, every time he fills up, he notes it and does the math. Wow. It's crazy. But
I did that. It also keeps maintenance. Yeah, no, mind.
Yeah. He's found like leaky things. Injectors because of it and stuff.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something to do. You should be aware of.
Yeah.
Keep a logbook.
Yeah. I always think
my
about
dad
it.
Did that too with his truck, because like he would log any. I used to do a ton of deliveries with his truck because he had a machine shop. I would drive up to San Jose or down to Santa Maria and all that. But we would always log the mileage because you could write it off as like a business expense because you're making deliveries. But now I'm like, okay, I'll get a logbook for my truck. Why not?
Yeah.
But also, I did that a ton when I had my Honda Passport because the fuel gauge didn't work.
Okay.
So like, I was constantly, I was like, always looking at the odometer, like, I've got 30 miles left before I have to fill up. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. This is shady as hell. we'll keep an eye on this story.
More ammo to not buy a Tesla.
Yeah.
I would love if anybody watching this, if you have a Tesla, and you were able to listen to us talk about them, I apologize. But if anyone has a Tesla,
keep an eye on that odometer.
I want to hear from people in the comments. Of like,
look into the numbers.
I just think it's so nuts. I never would have thought about this.
Now, what I would be worried about is now that this is out in the open.
All of a sudden, they all start working.
Yes, because they can do over-the-air updates and stuff.
Yeah,
and like,
wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah.
Mm. Erase the evidence.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I don't know. Anyway. We'll keep an eye on this story. Very interesting stuff indeed. All right, Jimmy, we got another story for you.
Just for Jimmy.
Just for Jimmy. This is a Jimmy special.
I will say, after everything we've talked about up to... So, Miata was good news.
Yeah,
great NASCAR news. Was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then it's just kind of been downers.
Yeah.
It's been down.
Well, we got a little palate cleanser.
That's what I think.
A little parsley or a little ginger. You know, just a month after Nissan sold
sorbet, a nice sorbet to cleanse the palate.
Yeah,
sorbet on a Monday morning. Nothing better.
Had a cup of noodles.
That's right.
This morning, with his coffee.
I did. I went out. I was like,
that combo.
I was
rate
like,
that
I'll
combo.
Be, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get a coffee, and then there was a cup of noodles.
And then you poured sriracha in the. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it was yummy. I saw it, and I was like. It's a cup of noodles morning. Yeah.
Honestly, really enticing. I almost got up and went and did the same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty good idea.
I'm going to try that tomorrow just to see if it sets me up a little
might
differently.
Might catch on.
Yeah.
Your eyes are going to be, I'm going to wake up with just salt swollen.
Just too many ramen.
So just a month after Nissan sold their last R35 GTR, the company has announced its plans to keep the GTR name alive.
It's going to be an EV crossover.
Last Wednesday at the New York Auto Show, Nissan's North American Senior VP, Pons Pandikuthira, told The Drive Nissan was working on, quote, locking in a powertrain for the R36.
Nice.
That's right. So they're
dialed. They're locking in, dude.
There have been rumors for years that the next GTR would be electric. I mean, they've been showing off that Hyperforce. They've been showing off the Hyperforce concept.
They've also got an R32 GTR resto mod that has an EV conversion done.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think they're priming people.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Pandikuthira said that Nissan even built electric prototypes, maybe that R32, but after they depleted their batteries after a single lap at the Nürburgring, they decided a hybrid powertrain was the way to go.
Yeah, that's very important to the GTR lineage, is the Nürburgring.
Not running out of juice.
Yeah, that and the Nürburgring. Like
Nürburgring.
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 Sorry, I've been watching some World War II stuff lately.
Yeah. Very different. Nissan says they want the R36 to be faster around the Nürburgring than a 911.
That's great. Love that.
They also want the new GTR to be ready in only 3 to 5 years, which is an insanely
quick
development time, which probably means ready to show the public and not ready to sell. So just keep that in mind. Yeah.
I'd love to see what they've dressed it up as to do their test laps, because historically they've always done, I think the R34 test mule was an R33 that was like cut up. There's like some really interesting photos about it. And then the R35 test mule.
Wasn't it like a...
It was
a
G35.
G35, yeah.
So
they should buy a clapped out G37.
Yeah.
With a sad boy banner on the windshield. Yep.
No one will even know. Yeah. It'll be so low key.
I love the idea if they would put like an Instagram handle. Yeah. And, you know, like just to throw everybody like
a heart shaped token.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Clouds coming out of
there. I'm excited about this. I think, you know, we've
not
done a lot
GTR prototype on the back.
We've done a lot of videos about the GTR over the years, of course, but you know, like this is the GTR name only really shows up when Nissan is like operating at its full strength, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is, I'm really excited to see like, are they, and like, I think everyone's thinking, are they going to change the body finally? You know, because historically they've had the same chassis almost for like, what?
Almost 20 years.
20 years.
Almost. Yeah,
almost.
Not literally,
that's
but
crazy.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So I would hope they have some new styling
right
in there. Yeah.
But you never know.
But also hybrid too. You know, 10 years ago, people would have been like, this is madness. It can't be a hybrid. What? You're going to make me track a Prius? But like, F1 car, every top tier race car out there is a hybrid. And it only makes sense that GTRs really are.
They're at the forefront of technology torque with cars.
Yeah.
Like the R32 that had four-wheel steering at the time.
Yeah, high cast, super high cast.
Super high cast.
All-wheel drive, turbocharged. Like, it really was, like you said, at the forefront. And, I mean, that hit, like, the GTR has been the showcase of Nissan's capabilities. So, I think a hybrid would be really cool.
Yeah.
And only increase.
I mean, what the 918?
Oh, yeah, 918, that's a hybrid.
Hybrid as well.
All of them. I mean,
amazing car.
LaFerrari was. I mean, even now, like, all the top supercars out there are all hybrids, so.
The GTR is just going to show up and eat those supercars for breakfast again.
Yeah, and then after
like
it comes out.
Like ramen noodles.
Yeah, it'll, MSRP will be, like, $100,000, and
probably.
Then after 3 years, you'll be able to buy it for 40 grand, so, like, yeah.
Can't wait to see when someone swap that engine, though, into a R32. That would be sick.
That would be sick.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
All right. Did anyone do that with the current stuff?
Yeah. Top Secret did. Smokey Nagata.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did a R35 interior and, like, drivetrain conversion into an R32. Wow. So it has the R35 dash in it.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy looking.
I gotta look that up. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really cool.
Now, if Nissan would start making Silvia parts again, that'd be great. I put it out there every time. Talk about Nissan.
In case they're listening.
Yeah. I just want them to make Silvia stuff again, please.
For your Silvia.
I'm suffering right now. How can you not make weather stripping seals for simple things?
That is, yeah.
It's annoying. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Just my own agenda right there.
And that has been Jimmy's Silvia soapbox. Thank you so much for listening. That's our show this week. Very wide.
All over the place. Highs and lows.
It feels like we just started recording, but it's been like 45 minutes, so that's cool. All right, so follow Bart.
It feels like we just started recording, but I'm so angry I know we did an episode.
My blood pressure's spiking. follow Bart at BidsBardo. Follow Jimmy at RussellJimmy.jp. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Please fill out our live show form. We have it down in the description, both of this of the video or audio. Let us know where you're at if you want us to come see you. Go check out our other history show, Past Gas. We're having a lot of fun over there now. We've kind of just like refreshed and revitalized ourselves, and it's a lot of fun. And today, we're going to record a new episode that'll be out in a few weeks about Tamiya, dude.
The model company.
Yeah, so keep your eye out for that one. This week, Shigeru Urahara?
Dude. What a lad.
He designed a bunch of Hondas.
Yeah, he forefronted the Type R platform. Awesome. Putting the Type R seasoning on all the Hondas. So,
I'll have
really
to give
cool
that
dude
a listen. I was out while you guys recorded that one. Yeah.
It's a good story.
It was really good.
All right. So, we will see you guys next time. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you. Bye.
Bye.